You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com. And joining me on today's show is a unique guest. She was on last year? Were you on last year? She was on last year sometime. I believe last summer, October range. I can't remember the time.
It was December.
Last December. And you might have heard the rare female voice in Locked On Pacers podcast. We don't have a ton of females on. Caitlin Cooper is one of them. I know Tony talked to a couple, one of the Washington Wizards writers for their ESPN site. But it's my lovely girlfriend, Marina Higuera. She is joining me to talk about Miles Turner today. We're going to preview his upcoming season. I told her this offseason I'd have her on one time for one of the players, let her pick any player she wanted, any player, didn't matter. She could pick, I gave her a list. Tony had his players he wanted, but I gave her basically kind of an option, and she chose Miles Turner, and I want her to justify me. Why did you choose Miles Turner?
I'm so in love with him. That's not the answer that he wanted me to tell.
But like, why? Give me some, why do you like Turner? Is it his hair, his, he's our age, so Miles Turner, I think, was born March 96, we were born in 97, Marina's January 97, I'm May 97, so pretty much around our age, so that's, that might be a reason, but it's the
like
hair.
7 feet tall. I think he looks like Archibald Asparagus from the VeggieTales. A little bit. I have a tweet about it where I picked corresponding colors of his tie to match Pacers colors. I think it was one of my best tweets.
I would say you also liked him because he is one of the more fashionable Pacers, I think. Remember there was that video he was on NBA TNT or NBA Today with Victor Oladipo, and he was wearing that like polo shirt and suit kind of combination. I don't know. I think he's pretty...
Was he wearing the glasses?
Yeah, he wears his glasses a lot.
He's wearing his big glasses. He was like the only one that actually like showed out for the draft.
I will say though, so the Pacers have a lot of personalities on the team. Victor Oladipo definitely has his own personality.
That's also why I like him. Because he showed up at his house, right? There was like that story.
Vic showed up at Miles' house.
Yeah.
Miles
is
having a bad run last year. But
I think that's really cute.
If you missed on Media Day, I think Vic said he watches four movies and four movies only. So yeah. They're all kind of... But Turner's always good for a quote.
Tony's tweet about... There was like a picture of Vic. He was already sitting down and Miles was like looming over him. He's so tall. It was the cutest thing. I squealed when I... I have it saved in my bookmarks. So Tony, I have a couple of your pictures saved in my Twitter forever.
Right, we don't need to talk just to Tony. There's a wider audience than just Tony out here.
Colts fan Ryan.
Okay, calm down. So the thing about Turner, though, I think also he is good for, always good for a quote. You know, he had a bunch of little one-liners last year that I thought were good about. There was one game where they played late and he started to ask like a lot of random questions. He's like, I just want to go home. Stop asking me these kind of dumb questions. He said something like that. He was tired, exhausted.
I feel like he's one of those Lance Stevenson kind of people where maybe he's not like the front runner of a team. He might not be, you know, as iffy as Lance Stevenson, but I think that everybody in Indiana and the people that really like the Pacers like him as a player and would be very disappointed. Like, obviously, people would be disappointed if Vic left because he's very skilled. He has personality and stuff, but I think that if Miles left, it would affect the fan base a considerable amount.
I think that's a good way where to start with Turner. So Turner's in the last year of his current contract, his rookie deal. It's somewhere capped at around $6 or $7 million, not too much. But he's eligible for an extension, which he can get up to, I believe, the day before the season starts, which is October 17th. So I think October 15th, 16th, he has to sign up by then. It seems like that's not going to happen. You know, Tony and I discussed it before in previous podcasts. It probably do with a combination of he probably wants, thinks he can earn more by having a great year. The team probably looking for kind of getting him on a kind of team-friendly deal. It makes sense for both sides to sort of look at it and say, we'll wait till next offseason. Plus, his cap hit will be low. A lot of combinations for why he might not have an extension yet, but I don't think it's too much to concern about. But you look back at 2017-18 season, he struggled or plateaued off, however you want to say it. He had 17 games worth of injuries between, an elbow injury, concussion, and what else did he tweak? And he tweaked something else, but he ended up missing 17 games. Basically, his two injuries, I like to say, are basically non-basketball injuries, right? So baseball players tend to hurt their UCL, which is like the pitching Tommy John thing. He hurt that in full pushing a concussion, which he got that too. So they're two kind of fluke injuries on the season for him.
I think it was Pat McAfee's celebrity softball tournament or something.
Exactly. So then with Turner, it was like he was sort of on this projection, right? His first year, solid, took promise, missed the first 20 games his rookie year, I think, with a wrist injury, but showed promise. Second year, made a little bit of a leap, became kind of a double-digit scorer, 14.5 points a game, a consistent rebounder more, all these kind of things, and then he sort of leveled off. Basically, kind of similar stats between years 2 and 3, which was discouraging, obviously, for all the Pacer fans out there. But, you know, the reason I really brought you on is because it's off-season.
He's been doing yoga.
Oh, he's been doing a ton of workouts. So, I mean, if you haven't seen a Miles Turner workout video, you really should go look at one. But he's been doing a ton of them. I mean,
he's how tall?
He's about 7 feet, 6'11", 7 feet. I mean, he's got a wingspan, I think, of like 7'2", 7'3".
I'm 5'3 and a half, and I can barely do what he's doing. Yeah. Not in terms of workout. I could never do that. Some but like in yoga poses, and I could never do that.
And so I don't know a ton of people who do yoga, but I know Marina does yoga. And so that's why I kind of wanted to bring her on from Austin. I think that's sort of a big part of this season going forward is sort of the fact that he reworked his entire body.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I think flexibility is an underrated part of strength. So I don't see a lot of basketball players when LeBron, maybe LeBron does yoga in his off season too, but usually when he's posting workout videos, it's him doing some dance moves with his head and then a lot of strength and conditioning. I think that doing yoga is a advantage that a lot of people don't think about. And it also helps your body recover faster, so.
Yeah, so when you watched him last year, do you think he was, I don't want to be mean here, I don't want to say fat, but chunky or a little bit kind of like, you know what I mean, when you watch.
What is his stat? How heavy is he?
You know, I don't know the exact set. I would guess he's probably in the 240-50 range.
I never thought he looked. But my size perception, like, I'm really bad at relative size. I see 6 inches and I think it's like 6 feet. I see how tall. I thought Sabonis was like 4 feet. Not 4 feet tall. I thought he was like 6 feet tall. And then I see him standing next to Miles Turner and they're like the same height. He just doesn't have the personality of a tall person.
Well, and so that's kind of...
So, like, Miles Turner, I don't see him as, like, I don't see him as chunky. Like, TJ Leaf looks like a child.
Well, he's also 19.
Yeah, but he looks like... I mean, Turner is around our age, too, and he has... To me, he has a lot more build than, like, TJ Leaf did, because I saw the other day that he's building muscle. But, like, when you compare, I would see Miles Turner as a lot more muscular
than definitely chunky. Now, if you watch him now, I mean, he definitely looks like he's got... more defined is the right way. Really funny video too to watch is there was a Pat Bowlen and Mark Monteith were hosting kind of I think the Pacers.com live stream or whatever it was during media day, and he walked up to the set and Pat Bowlen asked if he wanted to take his shirt off to show off his body, and Miles had this really kind of like shy laugh kind of thing. That was funny.
I love him.
But I think this whole body thing is really important in projecting him next season because. You know, that was the meeting with Vic, right?
That's like a key point that you make in every article plugged your Indie Corners articles. But when you write and say like, oh, if he builds muscle and stuff, he could do this in the next season. So when you say like, when I thought Miles was in shape last season and then you're saying he's so much better compared to where he was, I think that's big.
It's not even the muscle thing, though. It's the... With Turner, it's kind of the way he runs and the way he carries himself, almost, in a sense. So what I mean by that is the Pacers, right, the first game of the year, they had 140 points. They ran, like, at this pace you couldn't... I mean, it was, like, up and down.
Yeah, you're running a lot.
And then all of a sudden, they kind of slowly transitioned into their more of a slower pace, kind of found this right balance for offensive defense. But if Turner is in, like, a lot better shape than he ended up being, where he can actually run the floor consistently both ends without getting tired.
Unstoppable.
They can get back into that fast pace because between Darren Collison and Oladipo, yeah, Bogdan's not super fast, but you put Tyreek out there. I mean, I'm not saying anything if it doesn't know. But you put Tyreek out there. Thad is pretty fast. I know that's a little older, but Thad's always been in really good shape in his career. Mm-hmm. And Turner, you can really have five, like...
Very quick.
Super fast guys.
Quick-footed.
Yeah. I mean, I probably... You've seen it. When you watch Oladipo, I mean, like...
His
first step is crazy. He's super fast. I remember we were at that game where he literally was just like blowing by people when he has that famous video where he looked down at the ground. He literally blew by, like, I think it was Giannis Chris Middleton or something like that. He blew by them. Yeah,
it was. I'm a genius.
That was the same game where Turner hurt his elbow. Remember? I think he heard it.
I don't remember that, but I remember the look. It's my favorite picture when he's got the lasers coming out of his eyes.
So then, I guess. For Turner going into this season, is there anything last season when you watched them? I mean, I know you
fall down. Didn't watch a lot.
Well, you fall tangentially because you read all my. You're kind of my main copy editor for all my stuff, so everybody knows it there.
Because I'm kind of his main one.
He is my main copy editor.
Your only one.
Well, sometimes I edit my own stuff, but
ooh.
Kind of one of the main copy editors for me. I guess is there something with Turner that kind of you think that hasn't been I haven't talked about in terms of what he wants to come out with? I mean, like I'm kind of grasping at straws here, but anything with Turner that I don't, you know, I had to do some research for this podcast.
How many people? How many people? That's rude. How many people have had like? Is it rare to have an injury-free season, or one? Because he's missed so many. I feel like he's never had a consistently like. Vic missed
seven games.
Yeah. LeBron misses no game.
LeBron like, didn't he can play get seven, benched, but he but more like, was resting
yeah,
seven.
Yeah, it wasn't for, like, injury. So, like, if he has a fully healthy season as opposed to what is usually, like, he misses a very consistent chunk of time. Question, what would you accredit that to? And then, second, do you think he could go an entire season without injuring himself?
You know, that's the question, right? I mean, that's part of the whole workout, right? Yoga, people do it because it helps them not get hurt, right? That's a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, being more flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, like... I mean,
your body can move in strange ways.
Yeah, I mean, concussion-wise, I don't know how
yoga helps. Yeah, yoga can't help you with concussions.
No, you hit in the head, you hit in the head.
And you're just... It's over.
But I do wonder, though, if he can... I mean, I don't expect him to play 82 games. I really don't expect any NBA player to play 82 games.
No.
I mean, that's just hard.
No, but, like, there's a difference between being purposely not played because you're resting... And not playing 20 games because you've been concussed, and then not playing another, you know, several weeks of games because you hurt your elbow or with very atypical injuries to basketball.
Yeah, I guess with Turner, the thing with him is it's playing like 30 or 40 game stretches consistently. I mean, you know, he's going to have.
So you have lower expectations for him.
So I would have him probably, if I had a guess on the top of my head right now, it's like a 70 to 75 game season. I just, you know, a guy his size, I expect to miss 3 or 4 games with a knee here and there or an ankle turn or something that just happens because you're constantly jumping around. Now, like I said, the yoga is a huge part of it. Maybe he's more flexible where he can land better. I mean, I think that's a big thing with him is he was sort of top heavy, I would say. Like he had a really big upper body, but his legs weren't always there with him
these
last year. And so that's always kind of screwed with you because you have kind of need to be have that balance in the NBA to sort of keep yourself getting hurt. I mean, LeBron is kind of the perfect example of that where he works, his legs and his arms are kind of, he has his whole kind of same size where it helps him look good. Sabonis kind of the same way. Sabonis isn't huge, but Sabonis doesn't look like he's got an oversized one part of his body.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it helps him kind of play more to the ground and be more kind of agile at times. But Turner's a guy that take a lot of contact too. He goes to the rim, he blocks people's shots. Like he's a Roy Hibbert in that way, where he lets a point guard come into his body. So, I mean, he's going to get hit, going to get nicked up around, but it's sort of avoiding the dumb injury. So, like, even on that dunk where I know he probably didn't do it on purpose, but it's just don't windmill a dunk. Just you have the breakaway. Just put it two hands in. Do some, you know, you don't need to slam it one-handed and throw your elbow.
You do if you want to be on, like, SportsCenter.
Well,
Center
but
top
he's, but,
10.
But Turner's got this. Well, he's going to be on SportsCenter for his blocks. I mean, he's going to block somebody and send the ball into the stands. That's going to be on SportsCenter.
And that's going to give a kid a backpack.
And at this point, Turner should be playing for SportsCenter. He's been playing for his possibly like $150 million contract.
That too. But isn't that when he blocks, he gets
he's
a kid
right.
Gets that,
so every year, so 1 year it was George Hill three-pointers. 1 year it was used to be Paul George stuff. I think it's Turner blocks or backpacks. Right? His backpack.
A block for a backpack.
The Indiana Members Credit Union block. Thing.
A backpack,
whatever it is. You know, he's gonna probably be close to leading the NBA in blocks this year. I think last year he was second or third. I mean, Gobert didn't play hurt a lot. He'll be one of the leaders up there, but he's gonna be hurt, so that's gonna help him out.
Who's the league leader? I was about to say the lead leaguer, the league leader in blocks. Why? Like, cause his I know that basketball players are tall. This is where my uneducated self will come in, but like how many people are as tall as you're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Los Angeles Lakers?
So how many guys are like, well, Kareem is 7'2", so that's sort of not a good comparison, but
he is
in terms of 7 foot guys, so hold on, I got so in, there's
just 2 inches,
each team
really,
each team probably has crazy. 1 or 2 7 foot guys, but in terms of like elite level 7 foot guys, so last year for example, blocks per game, Turner was third behind Davis and Capella. I imagine the two guys will again be up there. Davis started killing people in terms of blocks, but Davis also plays like 39 minutes a game.
I do not like Clint Capella. His name reminds me of Propeller. Clint
Capella. Well, he's a guy who, I mean, Turner's kind of was looking at Capella. Capella got a 5-year, $90 million deal. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Turner's probably looking at. Like, okay, that's my floor for his contract next year. Like, I need to get, I get at least that. But I, if I have, you know, a really solid 2-block-a-game kind of year with the double digit points and rebounds, I can get like 25 to 30 or 20 to 25 a year. Probably not, he can't quite get 30, I think, unless he qualifies in some weird way for all NBA. But I don't know. With Turner, it's sort of like, it's all of it's, again, is like potential where Capella, like you saw it for 2 years in a row. Turner, we haven't seen kind of that
breakout yet. Right, because he's been gone.
Well, no, and he just, he like, he made a stride his end season, but it wasn't like a stride of like, this is who he is. What can he be next after right, that kind of stride? Right, what is
the potential?
Yeah, and which, like, what are you saying? Sorry, go ahead.
Is there like a threat when they say, when any player, not just him, says that they are not looking at an extension at the moment? Like, for the coming season or whatever, if other people are like, oh, we've always liked Miles Turner, like, we're going to start developing an offer for him and we're going to make it, like, is there a risk that he won't...
resign?
Yeah.
So... this great part about the NBA is, so if any player on a rookie deal or first round pick in a rookie deal, I think it's like when it depends, becomes a restricted free agent, which means you can match any offer sheet. So the reason he really hasn't signed a deal yet is because the Pacers hold all the leverage. I mean, they basically decided, okay, if you want to take a team friendly deal, then we'll just wait. We'll wait next season. If he plays one to be worth the max, we're happy to pay it to him. If he's not, we can go get a max deal, like Zach LaVine this year went out to Sacramento and got a $478 million deal. They'll maybe go out there and we'll match it if we like him or not. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, this is really a kind of, I would say it's a make or break here for Turner, because even where Turner is right now, like if he just plateaued off, he's still a quality NBA player. I mean, he's still somewhere in the top probably 10 to 15 range of centers, but it's sort of the tantalizing of could he be a top 5 center? And so, you know, it's a term of like getting that big hunter. So he probably in his rookie deal will probably make at the end of it between, so 4 years. It's probably scaling up, so probably average like 3 a year, so make about $12 million. But I mean, he could get into like $100 million. I mean, that's
Jesus.
I mean, there's $12 million, a lot of money, but $100 million is life changing, like for generations of your family, kind of money.
$12 million is life changing for me for a month.
No, but you think about $100 million, like changes you and your entire, like your grandkids, everybody for the rest of your family. Then they're like, family.
God bless him for getting so many block packs.
Well, and charities and other things, but I think Turner 2 wants to. I mean, he seems like he's been through the change of like he was with the Paul George era, and then they rebuilt that team. Yeah. He was on a different Paul George team his first year, then his second year, and then he got a different team his third year. It's all.
I'm going to project that this is his best season. He's going to play 81 games and 3/4 of the 82nd.
All right. Well, you kind of jumped the gun. So that's your projection.
No, we can go back. Sorry, no, that's I'm just good. Really excited.
That's the next thing. We're good.
I think that he's gonna be really good.
So projections,
I want him to stay.
I don't know if he can get up to 18 points a game. I really hope he could. I think like ideal situation for him is like 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 1 or 2 blocks a game.
Just double digits.
I don't know if he'll get the points. We put up 14 or 12.7 last year, I think.
Okay, so 18 is kind of a jump.
Yeah, so return to the thing is, it's about shots. So Turner went to about 10 shots a game last year, and so you have to get those shots back from other players theoretically. Right. So one part of that could be a pace increase. You could play faster. You can get a couple more shots for him. It's setting him up more a little bit. Does Vic decide to maybe become more like a 17 or 16 shots a game? Does Thad take a step more back in terms of shots per game? I mean, that's where it's come from. But if he can get to like 12 shots a game, I have no doubt he can probably get to 16 to 18 points. His 3-point shooting will probably be, I think, closer to 40 than it is to 35, so 38 to 39% probably. He needs to get his overall field goal percentage back, but everything else, I mean, he has a decent free throw shooter. He's going to be in the 80s, low 80s probably free throw percentage, and he's going to hopefully get kind of in that 38 range and 49 to 51 range in terms of field goal to 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. And if he gets to 12 shots or 13 shots a game, that's where he gets kind of that jump. And then, you know, if he can kind of, with his agility, be on the offensive glass more, get some more shots, things like that. It depends if they use him in the offense, but I have imagined they're going to kind of unleash him, I guess, this year more than they did last year. Last year,
monster.
Well, last year he missed I think 11 of the first 12 games with his concussion, or seven games he missed in a row. And he kind of got thrown off, and I think this year they're going to design plays for him, and they never really built some offensive plays for him.
Around him.
Yeah, and I think he didn't fit well with the bench unit guys. Like, he wouldn't have played well with Lance because they're different styles. I think he'll play well with Tyreek in a different way, and so it'll be interesting to see how they do that, but I would hope I mean, my hope is that they allow him to run some plays. Like, they don't just run the first two plays for him and they don't do the rest of the game, like the obligatory do it for the center kind of thing. I hope they actually run some stuff for him, like mid-third quarter or whatever, get him pick and pops. Like, he has this ability where he's a really good three-point shooter that if they can just pick and pop him, they can create a lethal pick and roll kind of at times. So,
did I want a full court shot? And I want him to make it.
I mean, so he's got this three-point shot where it's like a huge arc because he shoots him so high up too. He arcs his ball.
Well, his arms are very tall.
Yeah, but I mean, he has a. I mean, I thought his three-point shot form last year was really solid, and I thought, I mean, to make that jump to almost 36% is kind of where you need to be effective as a center. Mm-hmm. It's just taking that next level and maybe getting to like he put up 2.4 a game. It's getting to like 3 to 3.5 a game in terms of threes. But I could see him doing that. I don't think I think his. He's going to definitely have more trust from the coaches. I think because they saw the work he put in, so they're going to trust him. Now, the question is...
Nate, he did Vinyasa. You play him the entire game. How many minutes is it?
48. This is
all 48.
This pack is getting off the rails right now.
That's not true.
Probably, well,
rein it back in, me.
We have about a minute left before we need to finish up anyways. Okay. But with Turner, too, I guess the question is I always thought he kind of makes... some not smart decisions in clutch moments, and that kind of is why the head coaches shy away from him. We'll see if he kind of can do it this year. You know, if he can show up big in the first 5 to 10 game with a big play here, big play there in a big moment, he'll get some confidence, the coach will confidence in him, and that will sort of boost him. Because, I think the Pacers do want to pay him. They want him to be worth the 5-year max for a player. That's about $150 million. It wouldn't be worth that.
Yeah.
It's just whether he will become worth it is the question. But I don't think the Pacers have any... They won't be shy about paying him the money. It's just, can he prove he's worth it? They don't want to overpay him for no reason. They want him to actually be worth that max. Like, Daniel, you don't want to end up in a situation where you pay a guy $100 million and not even sure if he's going to be a cornerstone of your team anymore because he's not. He had a good.
Because he's bad.
Well, because Wiggins, they paid Wiggins after his third year, and then he had a regression. And so now all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we're paying this guy. Well, we've locked in this guy for the next 5 years, but
he
also
had a regression. More like you just found out that he sucked.
Well, no, I think he kind of took a step back with Butler and got off the dog out of that team, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hold every situation.
Wait, okay, one last question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If he stays consistent, like, if he plateaus, but if he's, like, consistently good and stays healthy, he's not, like, spectacular, he might not meet, like, everybody's... He might not meet my projection of 81 3/4 of a game, but, like, if he's consistently good, stays healthy, plays a majority of the season, will they re-sign him?
Yeah, he's going to be brought back, barring, like, a complete drop-off. I mean, so if he goes to another team and he tries to get, like, an offer sheet, it's probably at 4 years, like, I'm not sure what that number is, probably close to 100 next year with the cap increase.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably match that because you can't afford to lose the asset. The only way they don't re-sign him is because they have a ton of cap space next year and somehow they figured they're able to snag a free agent.
They're going to trade for Steph Curry.
Well, no, but, like, Jimmy Butler would be a free agent and that they could snag him, but...
I thought that was going to happen before the next.
Well, he's going to be traded, but he's going to be a free agent next year still. So if
what if he gets traded to the Lakers?
What, Jimmy Butler?
So then he just will stay there.
Well, I don't know.
Because who doesn't want to play? Trade him for Ball.
That's a whole other situation. But, I mean, the only way I could see him not being re-signed is really because somehow they spend a ton of money on other free agents, or they get a max free agent, and then they can just say, hey, we're gonna just parallel with this guy, and we're going to build on some bonus. That's the only way I could see it happening.
Right.
But my guess is... If I had to guess right now, he probably ends up signing for like a 5-year 120 extension. Not quite the full max, but a lot of money still.
And he's staying here forever.
Yeah, and I think he wants to be here. They want him to be here. He's kind of stuck it through the Paul George change, and he's kind of been a team guy, and he's liked him in the locker room, and
he likes the community.
Everything besides basketball, he's exceptional, and then it's on the court just putting together
something
exceptional.
The one sport that we're paying, like, the